Today on Blue 58, it's time to dive headfirst into the NFL draft, and we're coming out of the gates with edge rushers. It's not a high-end need for the Packers, but it is a hard position to ignore.
Blue 58!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue 58, the one and only podcast of thepowersweep.com. I am your host, John Meerdink, and I'm very happy to be with you here for another episode, because it's really time to start talking NFL draft. It's been time for a while. It's just that the Packers went out and decided that they wanted to do a whole bunch of stuff in free agency, and we had to talk about that. And that leads me to the first part of the show. I need to offer a humble correction. His name is Xavier McKinney, not Isaiah McKinney. I knew this. I've said it on this podcast before, and somehow I titled the last episode and may have even referred to him within the episode itself as Isaiah McKinney. I'm not exactly sure how that happened. Maybe I was thinking of Isaiah McDuffie. Maybe... I don't know. I can't think of another explanation. But thank you to listener Dean Lauder for the gracious and gentle correction, which he offered up via thepowersweep.com's contact page. And thank you to a couple other people who pointed that out as well. Dean was the first, though, so he gets first credit. But yeah, his name is Xavier McKinney. We'll make sure we'll get that right from now on. It's funny. I'm a stickler for names and want to make sure I pronounce people's names right. But it's also the thing that I forget and get wrong the most. I've also called Josh Jacobs Josh Jones at least once, which is really hard because we were just talking about Aaron Jones being with the Packers, and Josh Jacobs comes to replace Aaron Jones. If you just go last name Jacobs and Jones, there's a lot of overlap there. But then, of course, Josh Jones actually played for the Packers at one point in the not-too-distant past, so I've got all those names jumbled up in my head. And, well, when I say that we're trying to all become smarter Packers fans, I really just mean me, first and foremost, because... Well, we make the effort to try to be smarter, but one of us in particular could use a lot of work. Anyhow, edge rushers. Looking at this class overall, it is, I think, a fairly good class of edge rushers. Those not as strong as some recent years, but there are a lot of good pieces to be had here if you're in the market for an edge rusher. The top 150 prospects, at least according to the mock draft database's consensus top 250, in the top 150, there are 15 edge rushers. That's fourth most behind wide receivers, cornerbacks, and offensive tackles. That is an unsorted collection of cornerbacks, by the way, this year when we talk about cornerbacks and safeties for that matter. We're going to break those out into slot corners or slot defensive backs as well. They're going to be their own special preview this year. We want to talk about defensive backs who just are perhaps well-suited to doing that. That aside, edge rushers are right up there near the top, though not at the tip top this year. Also within this class, the top end is clean, very clean. You have to go all the way down to the 10th prospect on the list before you find someone who's not on our board in some way, shape, or form as a prospect. The top end of this edge rusher class does not contain a lot of guys where you have to make excuses for either their athleticism or their productivity. The top end is very athletic and very productive. No workout warriors at the top end. They all at least have some strong productivity to match in some form. It also seems to me that this class is a little bit small, which aligns, I think, fairly well with a bit of a philosophical shift for the Packers. Historically, the Packers have preferred big, kind of bulky edge rushers. Think, well, Rashawn Gary, maybe the classic archetype of that, would be Nick Perry, who is a great athlete, to be sure, but pretty big and pretty bulky. They want big, beefy edges. Preston Smith is a big, heavy guy, like 270, 275. Za'Darius Smith was that way. J.J. Anagbare is that way. Lucas Van Ness is that way. Rashawn Gary actually was dropping weight to play with the Packers. His listed weight at Michigan was in the mid-280s a lot of the time. The Packers may be going away from that. We haven't said for sure. We haven't learned for sure. According to Brian Gutekunst, he doesn't foresee a big philosophical shift there. But if you look at people who run the defenses from which Jeff Hafley takes most of his influence, they play lighter edge rushers. So I think we can tentatively assume that if the Packers are in the market, they might be looking a little bit lighter than they have in the past, which is good. Of the 27 guys we have in our list, and I'll explain how we got to that list here in a second, but of the 27, just 7 weigh in at 260 pounds or heavier, and 11 of them are under 250 pounds. So these are small, light edge rushers, athletic and productive to be sure, but smaller and lighter than some of the classes we've seen in the past. As far as the Packers are concerned, I think an edge rusher is a need, though not a screaming big one. If you look at the kind of geography of what they might be looking for, heading into this year's draft. I think you could make a case that they do need one, though probably not right away. Their depth chart right now is probably, well, Rashawn Gary for certain at the top. So, Lucas Van Ness and Preston Smith in some order, probably depending on the day. They would certainly, I think, like to have Lucas Van Ness be ahead of Preston Smith at this point. Then you've got Preston Smith, of course, in his what should be his final year probably with the Packers. Beyond that, you've got post-ACL J.J. Anagbari and then practice squad guys as well. So I think you can say with some confidence that they should be looking to take someone at some point in the draft here. There are enough prospects further down on this year's or in this year's class that you could see them probably trying to do something on day three and maybe get a special teamer out of that in addition. So you grab an athletic guy on day three, you know, round five, six, or seven, something like that, and you kind of let him become an edge rusher while playing special teams. That seems like something that you could easily foresee happening for the Packers. And there are good prospects to be had, even I think at that point in the draft. So how did we get to the prospects that we have? We have always intentionally been pretty process-oriented with the draft. We don't just want to be talking about what other people are talking about with the draft. We want to really identify guys we think could be good players. Ideally, what I'm trying to accomplish here is identifying prospects more than going with a who should the Packers draft type thing. We want to look at who could be a good player, and we want to do that within a structured, repeatable process. So every position that we look at, and I'm saying most of this now, and we'll repeat it, you know, throughout this draft process, but this is the big one up at the top since it's our first draft preview. So the way that I've always done this, or I've tried to do it, is that every prospect falls into one of three tiers within their position. Tier one prospects are going to be guys that are athletic and productive. Athletic is always going to mean a relative athletic score of eight or higher, regardless of position. I'll explain why that is in a second. Productivity is going to vary by position. I think that is relatively obvious. Tier two prospects are guys who are athletic with some production, maybe not as productive as the tier one guys, but with some production. And then tier three is guys that are just athletes, usually. We also throw in a couple of bonus guys, especially among edge rushers, because there's going to be some where we just don't have testing data yet or may not get it, but they're strong in other ways or interesting in other ways. But we'll throw a few of those guys in at the end if they pop up during our preview for each of these positions. As far as edge rushers go, here's what we look for. We look for guys who are an eight or above on relative athletic score. There's been some additional looks at RAS recently, relative athletic score, and I think we need to be careful about how we use it. It's not a be-all, end-all. For our purposes, though, I think of it more as a filter than something that is necessarily like, hey, you have to be this good or we're not even going to look at you. It's a tool like everything else, and even if the Packers aren't using it specifically, they certainly use something like it because you can see how clearly it lines up with things like relative athletic score. But a couple of those more in-depth looks at relative athletic score recently have established, I think, something that is intuitively true. Paul Noonan of Acme Packing Company actually mentioned this. I don't know if he's talking about it publicly, but he mentioned it in a group chat that we've got going on, that basically among guys who have actually played in the NFL, the relative athletic score is almost always above eight. Among people who are drafted, it's far lower. But to actually make it in the NFL, it looks like you have to have a relative athletic score of eight or higher. So really differentiating among guys that are above eight doesn't really matter that much. It's just look, eight is kind of your divining line on a scale of 1 to 10. Again, it's not a be-all, end-all. There are guys that have been successful in the NFL that don't hit that high. Kenny Clark is a good example of that, though he is certainly a very good athlete, and he wasn't a bad one by any stretch of the imagination. But it is a good tool, and at least for our purposes, it allows us to weed out a bunch of the prospects because otherwise you're just dealing with an overwhelming amount of data. We also look at production ratio. This is something that I've gone back and forth on over the years, whether or not this is a good number, but I've kind of landed on it, especially this last offseason, especially throughout last season, looking at what the Packers did in terms of rushing the passer as a good metric. Because it's nice to get pressures, it is, but finishing, getting sacks, getting hits on the quarterback, getting tackles for loss matters more. It just does. It it's nice to affect the quarterback. It's better to take him down. And so production ratio, it's a measure of tackle or sacks and tackles for loss per game. And for our purposes, you want a ratio of at least 1.5 sacks and tackles per loss or tackles for loss per game. That's a pretty high standard, but we're looking for the most productive players here. And then we're looking at a pressure rate of at least 12%. That is a relatively high bar, but if you take the total number of pressures a guy has gotten in college and divide it by his total number of pass rushes, that data from Pro Football Focus, if you get at least 12% pressure rate, you're doing pretty well at the college level. So guys that are tier one guys are going to be guys that hit all three of those. Tier two guys are going to be athletes who at least get one of the two production metrics. And then tier three guys are guys that are at least an eight in the relative athletic score. We're going to talk about each of these tiers in order as they appeared on the consensus mock draft big board. So we're not just tiering it out. We're just going top to bottom. Among the top 250 players on the consensus mock draft big board as of March 13th, 2024. That day I sat down and mapped out the top 250 players by position in that draft. Now 250 at each position, 250 total. I picked 250 because it's a nice round number. The draft is about 250 players long. We should get everyone who's at least considered a guy worth taking, and I figure the first 5 to 6 rounds or so. Beyond that, who knows what could happen. And we're just going to work our way down that board talking about the guys who meet our thresholds in the order they appear on that board. Some caveats here, and then we'll finally get to talking about players. I realize we've been going for a while here, but some caveats before we get started. First, the difference between defensive line and edge rusher is blurry sometimes. Some places might call a guy an edge rusher. Others might call him an end or a defensive tackle. If a guy is on the list and you think he's a defensive lineman and I have him as an edge or vice versa, just consider yourself right and me wrong. You probably are right. It also doesn't matter that much in the grand scheme of things. We're just trying to talk about some guys here. As far as testing stuff goes, not everyone tests at the combine, so we might not have their numbers yet when we talk about that position. That's going to take some guys off of our boards. And that's just how it goes. We'll try to go back at some point and fill in the blanks before draft time, but we may not get to everyone. I'm a podcaster. I do not want to run a war room. I'm not going to get to absolutely every prospect. Related to that, more and more guys are skipping parts of the testing, specifically the three-cone drills. It does throw off our numbers a little bit, though not entirely. We'll note it where it's appropriate. It's almost never going to come up. But I would just like to say that for the record, if you are going to the NFL Combine and you do not run the three-cone drill, I can only assume that you are afraid of Ben Wyatt from Parks and Rec because...
It's about the cones.
It's just about the cones. And if you've watched Parks and Rec, perhaps it would be interesting to you that my wife thinks that there is a lot that I have in common with Ben Wyatt. I can't imagine why that is. I do have 3 or 4 games in development that might remind you of Cones of Dunshire. They will never see the light of day, but again,
it's about the cones.
Anyway, as far as the actual prospects go, I can't really go super in-depth on everyone or even most people, but we'll go the deepest on the guys in the top 100, and then they'll just list a few facts about the guys after that. So all those caveats and that backstory aside, here's what we've got from the edge rushers in this class. First out of the gate, 7th on the consensus mock draft big board is Dallas Turner out of Alabama. He runs 6'2" and 3/4", 247 pounds, and right out of the gate, he is a tier one prospect. 9.3 relative athletic score, 1.96 production ratio, and a pass rush win rate of 14.52%. Looking at the good in his scouting report, he is insanely productive. He's a great athlete. He's got the highest production ratio in the class, 32.5 tackles for loss, 22.5 sacks, and he did it across 28 games too, playing in the SEC, playing high-level competition. Not a flash-in-the-pan guy, and he stacked up a bunch of numbers despite having competition from Will Anderson last year, who was one of the top picks in the draft, from another prospect in this year's class, whose name escapes me right down, Chris Braswell from Alabama. I had to scroll down a ways to find him. He just kept stacking up numbers despite having great talent around him, which is something we do not always see. But he did it over a long period of time, so not a super flash-in-the-pan guy. The really only bad thing you can find among his scouting reports is that he's said to be a fairly poor run defender. And I think you would guess that as his size. At his size, just 247 pounds, 6'2", is not all that tall. But honestly, it does not bother me all that much. When you go through the draft process, when I go through the draft process, there's a couple things that I just do not worry about all that much. The first is college edge rushers being poor run defenders. I just assume they're all going to be bad in the NFL because most edge rushers who are primarily pass rushers in college end up being bad run defenders because most of them are pretty light and they have to learn how to do it in the NFL. It's going to take time. So it's not that big of a knock for me on guys coming out. And rushing the passer is more valuable than defending the run anyway. The other thing is that college tight ends are just going to be poor as run blockers. Everybody says this all the time. Just assume it's going to be true. It takes some time to learn how to be an effective run blocker at the NFL level. Turner is good. He's really good. There's nothing really I dislike in his scouting report. He seems like a great prospect to me. The Packers do not have to worry about drafting him. I also want to include a fun fact about everybody in the top 100. Fun fact about Turner, he won back-to-back state titles in high school football down in Florida. Not too shabby. Next up on our list is 14th overall prospect Jared Verse out of Florida State. 6'3 and 7/8, 254 pounds. Again, a tier one prospect. Almost everything about that was true about Turner is also true about Verse. As productive as Turner is, he's even more so. 9.53 RAS, 1.9 production ratio, 7.32 pressure rate. He gets after the quarterback. His pressure rate is pretty wild. Fourth highest in the class among the guys that we've got on our list here. The knock on him is that he's got short arms. He matters, which I think matters more as a guy who's going to be rushing out of a three-point stance than someone who's going to try to win standing up. It seems like Verse is probably more suited to playing in a 3-4 scheme as a stand-up pass rusher, but you never know. Fun fact about him, he started his college career at Albany. I always like to see Albany because their mascot is the Great Danes, and I think that's cool. He was also a state champion track athlete in the 4x400, which is one of my favorite track races. That I love watching the 4x400 relay. Next up is Chop Robinson, a controversial, maybe not controversial, a divisive prospect out of Penn State. 6'2 and 7/8, 254 pounds, a 9.7 relative athletic score, a tier 2 prospect because he does not meet our production ratio threshold, but he does have a 17.51 pressure rate. He gets after the quarterback, but does not finish as much as his classmates here. I don't know what they feed those guys at Penn State, but they've got athletic marvels each and every year, and Robinson is the latest one. I think he does have the best combination of relative athletic score and pressure rate in the class. His actual productivity is low, just 17th in the class, and only two players with a relative athletic score of 9 or higher ranked lower than him in our sample. He just did not play up to his athleticism on a down-in, down-out, game-in, game-out basis. Just did not work out for him. Fun fact for him, he is one of eight children in his family. Chop is not his name, by the way, if you didn't know. It's Demione. I hope I'm saying that right. But his siblings' names are John, Dijon, Damar, Jalia, Arthur, Artis, and Lucy. Eight siblings in the Robinson family. Not too bad. Next up is another Robinson, 32nd on the consensus mock draft. Big board, Darius Robinson out of Missouri. A big boy, 6'5", 285 pounds, a tier 3 prospect because he is just an athlete. 8.66 relative athletic score, but his production ratio was just 0.79. A 9.23 pressure rate. If you're wondering, well, could he have been a higher rated prospect if we considered him a defensive lineman? Actually, no. He would not have made our thresholds even as a tier 1 prospect, even if he was a defensive lineman. We lower them a little bit for guys who are rushing from the interior, but Robinson did not even meet those. He just has not put up numbers that match his athleticism and size. I like his size as a more traditional 4-3 end, but I don't know if you can get away with just being that kind of big guy anymore, especially where he's projected to go. Pro Football Focus, for instance, has him as an edge rusher. I think he might end up being an interior guy. If he measured 285 at the combine, he was cutting weight to try to maybe run a little bit faster. But he played at 296 in college, and he played all over the place too, inside, outside, edge rusher, traditional nose stuff. I think he's an interesting, versatile prospect. He just has not put up stuff that you would expect from a guy with that kind of athleticism. Still a pretty raw prospect. As a fun fact, he did not play football until he was a junior in high school, was primarily a basketball player prior to that. But if you're only going to top out at 6'6", you better be a lights-out shooter. And maybe he figured that rushing the quarterback was going to be a little bit more his speed. Next on the board is the 50th overall prospect, Chris Braswell out of Alabama, 6'3 3/8", 251 pounds, a Tier 2 prospect, an 8.66 relative athletic score and a pressure rate of 17.32%, a production ratio of just 0.63. And we mentioned this being something we see from time to time earlier. Would you play with other elite prospects as he did playing with Dallas Turner and Will Anderson at Alabama? There are only so many sacks and tackles to go around on the fantastic Georgia defense from a couple of years ago. That was one of the reasons I think we saw decreased production numbers from Devontae Wyatt. And we mentioned that at the time. A couple of his classmates there, too, kind of had lower production numbers than you would expect from prospects who were as good or as highly regarded as they were. And I think it just boils down to there being so many good players that not everybody is going to have outstanding stats. So maybe that is what's at play here for Braswell. But he did consistently get pressure, and that is a point in his favor. His pressure rate is actually identical to that of Jared Verse and is tied for fourth best in the class. He is, however, relatively raw. In addition to playing with Dallas Turner and Will Anderson, he also played behind them. In his college career, he logged just 560 pass rush snaps. That is the fifth fewest in the group that we've looked at. He also played 41 snaps as an off-ball linebacker the last two seasons, as a fun fact, which could speak to a little bit of versatility there. 61st on the big board is Marshawn Kneeland out of Western Michigan, a Tier 3 prospect at 6'3 267 pounds. Just an athlete, but what an athlete he is, a 9.53 relative athletic score. And he's relatively close in the production numbers, a production ratio of just over 1.09, and a pressure rate just under our cutoff at 11.65%. So pretty good productivity, though not great with his athletic build. Love the size and athleticism combo. He is one of the few edge rushers in this year's class to do every combine drill, so huge credit to him because, after all,
it's about the cones.
It's about the cones. You got to do the three-cone drill. You got to get out there and show your athleticism. I just like using the drop most of all, but it does show something that he was putting up elite numbers, and it wasn't just because he was big and heavy and ran fast in a straight line. He tested well across the board. Unfortunately, even with that proven and well-documented athleticism, he was just not very productive even playing at Western Michigan, which is disappointing because I think dominating your level of competition is important. If you're not playing at an SEC school, if you're not playing at Alabama, you're not playing at one of the real big boy schools, you got to be lighting it up if you're going to have athleticism, the likes of which our man Kneeland here has here, and he just did not do that. He got close, but compare him to a guy like, say, Carl Brooks from last year, ends up with the Packers. He put up big number after big number after big number, just tore it up at Bowling Green. And he was not the athlete that Marshawn Kneeland is. And we just need to see more, I think, from guys like Kneeland. I think on traits alone, he's interesting, but just was not very productive. A fun fact, an all-conference high jumper in high school, a thing that will always impress me because I just could never figure out how that works. The high jumpers are just very impressive to me. Love watching track stuff, and high jump just kind of befuddles me. How do you get that high? 73rd on the big board, Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Another one. Do these guys grow on trees somewhere down there? 6'4 3/8", not 3/8", 247 pounds, flat 9 relative athletic score, 12.63 pressure rate, a tier 2 prospect because he just hits it on the pressure rate, and a 1.09 production ratio. Very similar numbers-wise to Chop Robinson, a point in his favor. Also, unfortunately, very similar numbers-wise to Chop Robinson. Both of them very athletic. Both of them better at getting near the quarterback than getting to the quarterback, and don't show up much in the run game. Fun fact about Mr. Isaac here, he volunteered at the Penn Wertmann Older Adult Center as a high school student, think like a YMCA, had health program for older adults, so good for him, getting out and getting active in his community. Getting right down to it here, as with our last prospect in the top 100, that's Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, 6'3", 283 pounds, a tier 3 prospect, you guessed it, just again, another athlete, 8.54 relative athletic score, has never really put up consistent pressure numbers, 0.93 pressure production ratio, 11.62 pressure rate. You like his athleticism and size, though, 283 pounds. Even if he dropped down a couple pounds to play for a team like the Packers, maybe. Still pretty big, strong pass rushers. But just 27 tackles for loss and 12 sacks in 42 career games. You need more productivity than that if you're going to be that big and that athletic. And over 42 games, you should do better than, at the very least, 12 sacks. As a fun fact, if his college bio is to be believed, he was one of the most sought-after recruits that I've ever seen, had offers as a high school student from 29 different programs, eventually ended up at Oregon. Continuing down into the bottom half of the draft, we'll go quicker on these guys, but prospect number 121 on the big board is Gabriel Murphy out of UCLA, and this is one of my most fun facts in the entire draft. He has a brother who played at UCLA, Grayson Murphy, not just a brother, but an identical twin. And if you look at their stats, they're eerily close to identical as well. Both very good athletes, though Murphy is the only one we have testing data on. I should say Gabriel, because they're both last name, or both of their last name is Murphy. 8.95 relative athletic score, 15.75 pressure rate. So checks both of those boxes, making him a tier two prospect. But interesting that he has a nearly identical brother, but his brother, Grayson, is prospect number 236 on the big board. Gabriel up near the 100 range, but it seems like a pretty solid prospect as well. Mohamed Kamara is prospect number 136 from Colorado State, a tier one guy. So if you're looking for late round value, this is probably the guy that you want. 8.45 relative athletic score, 1.63 production ratio, and an 18.14 pressure rate. Here is the sort of stuff that you're looking for a guy who played at a less prestigious school, puts up the big testing numbers, puts up the big actual productivity numbers, and is constantly hounding the quarterback. 18% pressure rate, that's nearly 1 in 5 passes, or 1 in 5 pass rushes, he is affecting the quarterback. 45.5 sacks, 29.5, or excuse me, that's backwards. 45.5 tackles for loss, 29.5 sacks in 42 career college games. Second in both of those categories in our class that we've looked at. That is a really solid, probably day three prospect at that point, but in terms of athleticism and productivity, he's got it all. Prospect number 152 is Miles Cole out of Texas Tech, tier three prospect, because just an athlete, but what an athlete again. 9.93 relative athletic score, a big edge rusher, 6'6", 278 pounds. Much like Tyree Wilson at Texas Tech before him, he's never really matched his size and athleticism to his productivity. But if you're looking for sheer measurables, it's hard to do better than him in this entire draft class. Miles Cole is the guy that you want on day three or later if you're looking for sheer athleticism and size at the position. My favorite name up next, Jalix Hunt at prospect number 156 out of Houston Baptist. 9.16 relative athletic score, 1.62 production ratio, and a 14.21 pressure rate. Makes him a tier one prospect. He's checking all of our boxes here. He started his college career at Cornell before finishing out at Houston Baptist. Again, a small school guy, but dominated his competition. That is a point in his favor, I would have to say. At 189 on the big board is Brennan Jackson out of Washington State. Another big athleticism guy, 8.52 in the score there. Close on the productivity numbers. Just a fun fact about him, he was all conference on offense and on defense in high school, so could have gone either way as a college-level player, but decided to stick on defense and ended up being a fairly successful player at Washington State. Go Cougars. Eric Watts is prospect number 220 on the big board out of UConn. He might be one to watch as a practice squad guy. Kind of along the lines of Mr. Cole out of Texas, another big-body player here. 6'5", 274 pounds, aligns pretty closely with what we've seen historically from the practice here, or from the Packers here. If you want athleticism, you want size, want a guy who can develop a little bit, Watts out of UConn might be someone to watch for you. Xavier Thomas could be along those lines too. Prospect number 221 out of Clemson. A tier two prospect with an 8.06 relative athletic score and a pressure rate just under 14%. He has the goods. He's just a little bit small, 6'2", 244 pounds. Finally, among the guys we have complete numbers on, I have to finish out here with number 237 on the big board, Javonte Jean-Baptiste out of Notre Dame. a tier three guy, just athletic. But again, how athletic he is, a 917 relative athletic score. One of the guys you look at and just wonder, why did he not end up having a better college career? He started at Ohio State, transferred to Notre Dame, two classic blue blood programs, just never put up big numbers or even really exciting numbers playing at either of those spots. And you wonder why, given his size and athleticism, it just never really came together here. Now, to finish out our list here, a few, call them bonus guys here. These are guys we didn't either have testing numbers on, or they only met one of the two thresholds for productivity, but were extremely productive, or just some other reason. I thought I wanted to include them on our watch list here, but they did not formally meet the thresholds in one way or another. The first is 17th overall prospect, Laiatu Latu out of UCLA. He is arguably the most productive guy in this entire draft class. A production ratio of 1.8 and 18.44% pressure rate. He, quote-unquote, medically retired in 2021 after a neck injury. I've heard that UCLA is extra strict on things like that. They might medically retire you in some circumstances, but if he was cleared to play, if teams clear him medically, I would have no problems with taking him. However, we have incomplete athletic testing data. That means that he's not technically eligible for consideration here, though we may get more complete stuff eventually. For right now, he's just what I call a blue prospect. We just guys I want to monitor because I think he's going to be a really, really good pro. Mel Kiper actually mocked him to the Packers in his mock draft that came out Monday. I think it was Monday. Doesn't really matter when it came out, but he did mention Latu to the Packers. I don't think Kiper has any kind of inside information there. I'd be really surprised if the Packers went edge rusher round one. Crazier things have happened, but going there 2 years in a row when they have needs on the offensive line and in the secondary and, well, back on the offensive line again and a linebacker, it would be a fairly big surprise. But if you're going to, triple dip now, edge rusher is not a bad place to do it, considering how valuable the position is. So maybe it's not that crazy. Also wanted to mention prospect 48, Braylon Trice out of Washington, 16.65% pressure rate, just narrowly misses on production ratio at 1.37. No testing data yet, but he would be a tier two prospect if he makes it, and we get the testing numbers there. I wanted to mention as well Austin Booker out of Kansas. He's number 97 on the big board. He's especially rare. And we've got one other guy like this, but he's rare because he hits on the productivity numbers, but not athleticism. We've got testing numbers on him, 702 relative athletic score, but a production ratio of 1.72 and a pressure rate of 15.75%. The kind of guy that I think is worth keeping an eye on. And if they got him at the right time, if he, say, fell because of his testing numbers being good but not elite, I'd feel pretty good about that. J.J. Enagbare wasn't the world's best tester either, but he's been effective enough as a pro, and they could use another version of him with Enagbare recovering from his knee injury here. Finally, to close things out here, prospect number 138, Javon Solomon out of Troy, is a lot like Austin Booker, but a little bit smaller. 6.94 relative athletic score, production ratio of 1.59, and a pressure rate of 14.78%. Measured under 6 feet, or 6 foot 1 inches tall. So 6 feet and 7/8 was his final testing number or measurement number at the combine. Just 246 pounds. So fairly stumpy little dude relative to other professional football players. If you're 6 foot or 6 foot one in real life, you're doing just fine for yourself. But as far as professional football players go, a little bit on the smaller side, but plenty productive. Did well against the competition he played against at Troy. And if they got him again as a day three pick, you would like a lot of what you see there. He's shown that he can get to the quarterback and do it fairly consistently, just a little bit on the smaller side. So those are your edge rushers. Again, a pretty solid class here. There's a lot to like. I don't know if the Packers are super interested in edges, but you never know. Stranger things have happened, and you could always add another edge rusher late on day two. Day three, It's a valuable position. If you're going to spend resources, it's not a bad place to spend them. So I've got for you in this episode of Blue 58. I appreciate you tuning in. I'd appreciate it even more if you take a second and share this episode with somebody you think would enjoy it. That's going to help more people find the show and get more people involved in this conversation you and I are having about the Green Bay Packers, which in turn is going to help all of us, me included, me especially perhaps, become smarter Packers fans. And as I always say, smarter Packers fans are better Packers fans, and better Packers fans are what we all want to be. I'm your host, John Meerdink. We'll see you next time on Blue 58.